Mahler's Fifth Symphony is probably the best known of his symphonies. One reason of that is because of the presence of the famous adagietto of this piece, which has been used in countless films in ways that Mahler never had expected. This piece was really a kind of love letter that he wrote for his young wife, Alma, and it's a kind of salon piece, really. It's the ultimate salon piece that is a kind of beautiful, lyrical serenade with a kind of tempestuous middle section of, is it all going to work out? And finally coming to this radiant conclusion that, yes, it will. That little piece is contained within a much larger design, the first part of which explores the compulsion of marches. Funeral marches, military marches, the frenzy that people feel in reaction to these implacable events that we feel are marching over us, and drives itself to a kind of frenzy of despairing retreat. Where can I go to get away from all of this? And that is followed by a place we all go to escape from such things, which is into the world of music, into the world of dance. And what follows is one of the greatest waltz movements ever composed. But it's typical of Mahler that he just doesn't write a waltz. He rather considers, who are the people who are waltzing? Well, there are all kinds of people. There are the highbrow people with their very sophisticated, charming waltzes, and there are the people in the little village taverns with their very rough waltzes being danced in their heavy or wooden shoes. And somehow, every possible expression of what the waltz can be, wistful, melancholy, humorous, grotesque, frivolous, that all of these waltzes are blended into one enormous vision of the waltz, of people, of all people, wherever they may be, dancing in three. Eins, zwei, drei. Eins, zwei, drei. One, two, three. Then follows this wonderful adagietto movement, and then, very typical of Mahler's work, an utterly crazy finale, which you have to see almost as a kind of silent movie parody of all the hyper up-tempo, cheerful, cheerful, cheerful kinds of movements that we've heard before in the history of classical music. But it's now wired up to a real zany frenzy, the purpose of which is to allow it the chance for the themes from the adagietto and from the beginning of the piece to return in blazing splendor. Mahler's Fifth, like all Mahler's symphonies, is full of long and amazing solos, and they're some of the most famous solos for trumpet and horn that exist in the repertoire in this piece. But likewise, there are amazing opportunities for wind players and string soloists to do their part, and for the different sections of the orchestra, the strings, the winds, the brass, to play unanimously with one another and in concord or sometimes quite in opposition to other sections of the orchestra. So it's a question of solo work and teamwork constantly interreacting and changing, sometimes just in an instant. To do this, one must have, to some degree, a confident feeling of recklessness. That's what Mahler really wanted. He didn't want this music to feel like people were looking at the music and sort of saying, I must put this note here, and careful, careful, the next three notes must go exactly there. He wanted it to come off like the feeling of a big improvisation. And I have to say, most orchestras are very happy just to get the notes basically in the right place at the right time. But what we're after is something far beyond that. We're after the music sounding as if it never had been composed, as if it never had been written down, and all of us taking the chances to listen to one another and react to one another and know when to forge ahead, when to pull back, when to whisper, when to scream, when to sing, when to hum, when to shout out commands. It's all in making the music come to life as much as possible, and it's a direct reflection of the kind of teamwork and spirit that the orchestra and I feel with one another. Mahler's music has been a central part of my relationship with the San Francisco Symphony. The cycle of his symphonies, which we have performed and are recording, is right at the center of the kind of trust that we have discovered in one another. It's really scary to play this music. You have to go out on a tremendous limb sometimes, really right on the borderline of the most dangerous kind of playing, of playing so high and so soft that the notes might break up and disappear, or having to play so powerfully for such a long period of time that your endurance can start to fail. Pacing yourself is a very important thing. But also, you have to play with so much character that sometimes you can feel that you're right on the edge of being completely ridiculous and right on the edge of just showing so much about your own vulnerability that you just, you know, wonder how you can look at people straight in the eyes ever again. But that's what the music requires, and it takes a very special environment of people who have worked together and trust one another to make a performance which can be as confessional as that, which is what the audience has a right to expect.